welcome to episode 3 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
So before we get started, I want to thank a few people for helping us get the word out there regarding our podcast. First and foremost, I want to thank a gentleman. His name is Steven. He is part of the Toy Spotting community. You can also find Toy Spotting, a nice little community going on of people sharing not only just wrestling figures, but toys in general. Just getting figures out there, showing what they're finding out and about at Toys R Us. Anyways, we want to thank Steven. He's been helping out. He's been retweeting. He's been spreading the word.
And giving us a lot of good feedback as well.
And a lot of positive feedback. You can find him on Twitter at Shadow Is The Show. Again, that's Shadow Is The Show. We also want to give a thanks to our friend Dave. Dave's been a lifelong friend of Scott and mine. He was on iTunes, and he left us a nice little review on there. So we want to give Dave a thank you. And you can also follow him at BigHurt66 on Twitter.
Thank you, Dave.
And, of course, we want to thank our editor for making chicken soup out of you-know-what. My girlfriend Celeste, aka the editor, like I called her last week on episode 2. I want to thank her for the long hours of editing. I sit with her all the time. It's not a quick little edit, so we want to thank her for that.
Thank you, Celeste.
So with all that out of the way, Scott, I want to ask you, did you do any toy spotting this week?
I did, and unfortunately it was where I always toy spot, which is the Tracy Walmart. And as usual, they had the worst selection of figures you can imagine.
What'd they have?
Okay, so they had a bunch of elites, probably about 4 series old, no pages. They had a bunch of basics, of course, no Neville. But they did have the one figure that every time I see him, I pick him up off the shelf, and I run him under the price scanner to see if he's been discounted yet. And it's been 3 or 4 months, and as of yet, he is not discounted, and that is the Hogan Defining Moments. If I had to pick a favorite figure out of all the Mattels that have been released, that is probably my favorite Mattel figure that has been released. And I really want him to get discounted so that I can have a second one to open, but he is still $25, and I am not paying $25 for an action figure not named Finn Balor. So,
have you seen the British Bulldog figure?
Not in stores.
Wait till you see that figure. That figure, when I got it, easily jumped up to probably top 5.
Wow.
Of my all-time favorite Mattel figures.
Did not you all-time. Open them?
No, I only got one because I've only been able to find one.
I haven't even seen that series in the store yet.
I saw that series at the Emeryville Toys R Us. By the way, if you live out in California in the Bay Area, Emeryville Toys R Us, I'm giving up my hotspot, but Emeryville Toys R Us always seems to get figures way before anyone else does.
There are East Coast Toys R Us.
Yeah, they are East Coast Toys R Us. Every Friday, Saturday, I always try to make my way over there and check them out.
There you go. Did you do any toy spotting this weekend?
I did not do any spotting this weekend. Actually, we were basically editing and adding music all weekend. What I did receive, though, is my Ringside Collectibles order. In that, I got all of Elite Series 40, plus an extra Sami Zayn.
I had to have an extra Sami Zayn. That'll sate you until you actually do go to the store and toy spot a Sami Zayn, of which you'll probably buy 2 more.
Exactly, probably. I did receive in that also the Sasha Banks basic, Bayley basic, Iron Sheik, Paul Orndorff.
Great figure.
Honky Tonk Man. We talked about that last week. Yep. Paul Orndorff figure. They nailed it. They nailed it. And especially for a basic. When these basics first came out, they were not worth
it. They were just that.
They were basic.
Basic. Yeah.
But now they've put so much time and effort into these basics that I'm not saying they're better than elites.
No, but they're getting close.
They're getting close, and they've really upped the quality on them. But the one figure that I got, and out of the Sami Zayn, the other figures in that Elite series, was the Kevin Owens figure. And again, going back to episode 1, we will never say a bad thing about Kevin Owens. And I held this figure, and a part of me just gleamed with happiness just holding it.
7-year-old you wanted to just rip that package open. Also, how long have we been waiting for a Kevin Steen figure? Or a Kevin Owens figure?
So anyways, that's our little rant about what we found in Ringside. I think that was the rest of my Ringside box.
Yeah.
I don't think I got anything else in that. So that was basically my toy spotting for the weekend.
Nice.
I had to give the credit card a rest. So let's go into the news segment. Brock and Taker WrestleMania Elites just started hitting Toys R Us. A lot of people are finding them now. I like the Brock. I'm not going to get the Brock. I like how it goes back to his 2002-2001 era. I do like that. And it comes with the old school WWE title.
Yep.
I'm still not going to get it. Taker, I have my Defining Moment Taker.
Right.
Not getting it.
Right.
You?
I'm not going to get either, and this goes back to the conversation we had last week about they have released so many Brock Lesnar figures and so many Undertaker figures that it really has to blow you away in order to get it. I'm considering the Brock because it reminds me of the Ruthless Aggression figure that came out in the Jax series that was Brock's first action figure, which is probably one of my favorite Jax figures that they made. Based on that nostalgia, I'm considering if I see him on the shelf, I might pick up the Brock.
Is it one of those where you're going to be standing there and you're going to be holding it and you go, do I, don't I, do I, don't I?
Right, yeah. Right. And it depends on what the kids want at Toys R Us. Can I fit it in? You know, I'm thinking about the Brock, but the Undertaker I'm definitely going to pass on. I have enough Undertaker figures in the collection that I will pass on it.
Well, I'm not only passing because there are so many Undertakers. I'm just not impressed with this Undertaker.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, for an Elite, it comes with a jacket and a hat.
But have you seen some of the pictures on Twitter that people have done with it, with like certain lighting and they put it in the ring? It looks really badass.
No, I haven't seen that.
It looks really cool. I saw a couple pictures on Twitter last night of somebody that had the figure and they took some different pictures of it. And with the lighting that they did, it looked awesome. Not that you're going to actually open the figure and do certain lighting and snap pictures of it, but for a collection, it might be kind of cool to open up and put with the guys.
Yeah, I don't know. The defining moment Undertaker is the one that suits me. Like, I wasn't even planning on getting the defining moment Undertaker.
Right.
It wasn't until I got to Walmart and I held it and I'm like, this is probably one of the best Undertaker figures I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm probably in a pass because I don't need another Undertaker figure. Right. The Brock Lesnar, I'm probably going to pass on also. I don't know why I bought it, but I bought that Toys R Us exclusive where it was 21-1.
Right.
I don't know why I bought it. I don't know if I was drunk and I've never drank in my life. I don't know why.
Is it because it came with a beanie?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was the packaging that just got me. But anyways, I bought that.
You were there. You were at 30 when he hit the 21-1, so that adds some...
Yeah.
Some value there for you.
I don't know. I don't know what made me get that figure, but anyways... That's it for the WrestleMania Elites. It was just those two.
Just those two.
One thing we wanted to talk about was the new defining moment, Austin, that is up on Ringside. It's a pre-order. I think it's late March. I think it's available. I'm getting this figure.
It's an awesome figure. Now, it really is.
Now, if you go back and you look, there was a Ringside exclusive, and I can't remember the year. I hope somebody will tweet us about this, at Fully Opposable. There was a year where Jax put out Austin with a black vest and red writing, and he had a bunch of titles on it. Now they have this defining moment, and I missed out on that Ringside. I'm hoping to kind of make it up right here, because this figure is awesome.
It's only missing a couple of his belts. It's missing the tag titles. It's missing the $1 million belt, which that Ringside Collectibles exclusive back in the day had. But yeah, this one comes with three belts, two of his heavyweight titles, and then the Smoking Skull.
Mm-hmm.
The outfit is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I am heavily considering getting this figure.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Funko's also started coming up at Hot Topic or wherever you can find any Funko's. In the series was Paige, Warrior, Roman Reigns, and...
A new Cena.
And a new Cena in his basically Miami Hurricanes. Which one's you getting?
I'm probably not going to get any of the Funko Pops.
No Warrior?
No, I'll probably pass on Warrior and just put the money towards a really cool Elite that comes out one day. I do get a couple of the Funko Pops. I'm just not as crazy about them as everybody else is.
Yeah, I get it.
I lean more towards, like, if I'm going to get Funko Pops, it's going to be like maybe a Batman, you know, like one of the Batman lines. But with the WWE guys, I tend to put my money more into, like, Mattel.
Did we get you that Batman with the old Batmobile
you
Funko?
Did.
That
yes, you did.
That was a sick one. I love that one.
That's one of my favorites. I love it.
It's badass.
I love it. And that's what I spend my money on with the Funko Pops, is more like the comics lines or the cartoon lines, not with the wrestling. With wrestling, all my money goes to Mattel.
Yeah. The Funkos, I'm probably going to get Warrior. I have a Front Window, and I'll put it up on Fully Opposable, but it's a window that has Savage, Piper, Flair, Deadpool, because that had to go in there.
Our editor.
Yeah.
Hogan.
Hogan, Daniel Bryan, Austin. You got me, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Savage already?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, I have to have the Warrior figure to put in that window.
It's an awesome figure. If I collected Funkos, I would absolutely have Warrior in my collection.
Yeah. So anyways, that's the only one I'm going to probably get. No desire for Paige, Cena, or Roman.
Nah.
Nah. Let's go into our long, long list of LJN Series 3.
Bring home all the action!
And now the WWF Superstar!
Bring home all the action!
From LJN!
Okay, so How are we going to do this list? Do you just want to go down this list that we have, or do you want to lump all the managers?
Yeah, let's cherry pick the managers off the list, and we'll hit them first, and then we'll go through the wrestlers that are on the list.
Okay, go for it.
Because the managers that are on this list, correct me if I'm wrong, they had not done a manager yet, correct?
Correct.
This is the first line that they did managers on, and I think they literally captured every manager on the roster except for Miss Elizabeth, right? She's in the next one. And Slick, is Slick in this series?
I think Slick was in...
Slick was later.
Yes, Slick was definitely later.
Okay, so Slick was later. So basically, aside from Miss Elizabeth and Slick, they got every single manager that was on the roster as of, what, 1986, 1987, whenever this was that came out. This is an insane line. And at the time, I was a big fan of the managers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had just started, we're probably, what, 2 years into wrestling at this point? So managers were huge. Like, every bad guy had a manager and a couple of good guys did. But this was a great line because then you really could spice up, like, what you were playing with in the ring. And you had the outside interference. You could have Jimmy Hart hitting people with megaphones. So I was a big fan of the manager edition. Now, if Mattel were to do this, I would probably get Heenan and Jimmy Hart, maybe. And that would be about it. But in 1987... it was a different era. I had to have every manager.
Well, Jimmy Hart is actually in the new Hall of Fame classics.
Oh, nice.
That's now hopefully starting to pop up in Targets. That's the Macho Million Dollar Man, Jimmy Hart, and the Heenan 4-pack. You're absolutely right. They captured every single manager on this one. And what I liked, actually, I was looking through this list about a few hours ago. My favorite one was the Captain Lou Albano. I liked Bobby Heenan because I liked the blue shirt, and he just had the black slacks.
Yep.
But there was so much that went into that Captain Lou.
I think my favorite was Jimmy Hart.
Because of the megaphone?
Because of the megaphone. And they nailed his sculpture too. Like with the face, they just nailed him. The jacket, everything about that figure was just perfect. The only thing that made me angry is I didn't have a Hart Foundation to go with him yet.
Correct.
That was the only thing that drove me nuts about having Jimmy Hart in the collection.
Yeah, because the Hart Foundation didn't come out till the next series.
In the next series. Yeah.
The one thing I did like is I liked having Mean Gene.
Yeah, that was cool.
I never cut a promo, you know, with Mean Gene or anything, but I just liked having Mean Gene figure.
The one thing that was weird about Mean Gene was the pose, because his hands were kind of thrown out, and he was holding the megaphone. Like, Mean Gene was holding the microphone to his mouth in almost everything you saw him in WWE, and the wrestling figure that came out, his hands were thrown out with the microphone, like, pointing the complete other direction. Like, okay, so that was going to be, like, him interviewing somebody. But to me, it was more like when he ran away from the SummerSlam sign that was falling behind him, throwing out an F-bomb on national television or a pay-per-view, which was awesome. That's what that figure reminds me of.
You just stole the words right out of my mouth, because I was just about to say that.
Sorry.
That's all good.
Okay, do you want to go down the list of the managers that were in Series 3?
Sure. Okay, so it was Bobby the Brain Heenan. I like that one. Captain Lou, it was my favorite manager. The classy Freddie Blassie figure.
Yep.
That one was also a really, really good one.
It was a good figure. Yeah.
I did enjoy that figure. Others than that was Jimmy Hart, Mean Gene wasn't a manager, Mr. Fuji, and that's it. Those were basically all the managers at that time, except for Miss Elizabeth, like you mentioned.
Her and Slick really were like the only two that they didn't include in that line. And yeah, they just went manager crazy. But like I said, it added a whole new element because back then we were still playing with our figures. And so you could have the managers on the outside causing outside interference or coming in and trying to save their guy if it was Captain Lou, saving the Bulldogs. Like, that added a whole new element. I loved it. I thought it was a great addition to the line. I was a big fan of that.
I did also. Bruno Sammartino. Now, this was a tough one for me because I remember I got this figure for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. And I didn't know who he was. We didn't have the network in 86.
Right.
I didn't know who Bruno was.
Right.
Because we had just started watching right as they phased him out. I knew he was an announcer, but I didn't know why they put him in trunks.
The only reason I knew who he was is because I would read Pro Wrestling Illustrated and however many other publications were out. You weren't reading the magazines as much. We were getting WWF magazine delivered to the house, but they never talked about Bruno. I think at the time that his figure came out, he was an announcer. He was done with in-ring competition completely, 100% at that point. He was almost at the tail end of just being an announcer on television. At that point, I think they were getting ready to cut ties with him. So the only reason I knew who Bruno was is because of publications. And I think maybe there were one or two matches on a Coliseum video that we had gotten at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you were so young at the time. You were like, who the hell is this guy? I don't see him on Saturday morning television. Who the hell is he? Like, I don't want to play with this figure.
Like, yeah, I got that toy for Easter, and I was like, why is he in trunks? Like, I didn't know any backstory to this guy.
That was almost like Mattel now putting, like, a legendary figure in the line. Like, that was LJN's first throwback figure.
Right. Mattel released a Bruno Sammartino, and I can't remember which series this is.
It was one of the Elites, right?
It was, mm-hmm. And it was with his Hall of Fame.
Right.
WWE's done such a good job reminding us or showing us all the history. And it's due to the network. A lot of it has to do with the network. But we didn't have this back then.
They were so forward-focused on the product that they would not backtrack with anything. They would not bring up history, really. You wouldn't see, like, if you were watching the 1 hour they had on Saturday morning, or if you were watching the 2 hour Monday night primetime, there was no mention of Bruno Sammartino. They weren't showing a lot of older matches at that time. Who knew who Bruno Sammartino was at this time if you were, like, 10 or 11 years old and you had just gotten into wrestling?
Same thing with Afa and Sika.
Right.
They were phased out right as we were coming in to watching wrestling. I didn't know who Afa and Sika were. Corporal Kirshner. Now, they made different variants of this? I did not know.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one, with his beard.
We had the one with the beard?
Without the beard.
Without the beard?
Yeah, we had clean-shaven Corporal Kirshner.
Oh, okay. I liked the figure.
I did too.
He was like almost like a G.I. Joe type of...
And it was, they nailed his ring outfit, which I liked. He was in a good pose. Great figure to have, like, fighting Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff. And yeah, I like that figure a lot. I thought he was cool.
That was actually our first match at the Oakland Coliseum.
It was?
Yeah. It was Corporal Kirshner against Nikolai Volkoff.
I'm guessing Corporal Kirshner went over in that?
I think so.
Okay. It would make sense.
The only thing I remember mainly was Miss Elizabeth not looking like Miss Elizabeth.
Okay.
I remember Junkyard Dog and Macho Man having a spit-off.
Spitting, yes. I remember that.
Was Hogan at that?
I'm almost positive Hogan wrestled like Adrian Adonis or something at that show.
Yeah.
Maybe even Kamala. Like, it was one of those guys.
And then I remember our parents got us floor seats, and Dad kept hitting someone in front of them.
To sit down.
To sit down with your Macho Man poster.
Yeah, stop, that's my Macho Man poster.
You're bending it. Now, these two figures, aside from Bundy, these two figures I played with the most, and it was Davey Boy and Dynamite.
I also. And I remember when we got them, I was at a basketball tournament or something earlier in the day that Mom had taken me to, and you went with Dad to Best, and you guys found the British Bulldogs, and you bought two, I don't know how Dad did it, bought two sets of them, and you had opened yours already. But you, like, as soon as I walked into the door, it was probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you came running to the front door and you're like, dude, go look on your bed. And I was like, why? Did you crap on it or something? And you're like, just go look on your bed. And so I'm going up the stairs and you're frantically running behind me like you can't wait. And so this is probably the most excited I've ever gotten about a toy or much less anything else in my life. Like, there on my bed was a 2-pack of the British Bulldogs. And I went bat-ass crazy. Like, oh my God. I have British Bulldog action figures. They're going to kick so much ass. I'm putting the tag team titles on them right now. Like, I could not wait to shred the box and play with them. That was amazing when they made British Bulldogs figures. Yeah. Obviously, we're huge marks of the British Bulldogs. We've mentioned them in, like, every single podcast. But in the 80s, late 80s, you have to understand that these guys reinvented tag team wrestling so much more so, I think, than the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express. These guys were awesome and have toys. Was just, oh my God, this was great.
Them and the Hart Foundation were so ahead of their times, along with Midnight and Rock and Roll.
Sure.
But we were mainly WWF.
Right.
We would follow NWA. We'd watch NWA every Saturday.
We'd watch the 2 hours on Saturdays.
We were more invested in the 1 hour of WWF than the 2 hours of NWA.
Right.
So these two figures, I remember I played with them so much that the paint came off. So we talked about this every single podcast. The paint came off.
Yeah.
There was so much wear and tear on... on my Davey Boy and Dynamite.
There was a lot of maroon and blue coloring in your ring.
There was.
Because you played with these figures so much.
It was the Bundy figure and these two figures, hands down, the figures I played with the most.
Right.
I played with Hogan, the Hogan figure, but these two figures, then when the Hart Foundation came out,
right,
I played with those a lot.
Right. Right.
And then having Jimmy at ringside, you know.
Right.
And then I would put Captain Lou.
Exactly. There was that whole element that got added when they brought this manager stand. I know I keep raving about it, but, like, it was so awesome if you were actually playing with these things to have the little managers at ringside. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I loved it.
Now, the next figure on our list, Jesse the Body Ventura.
You had a comment about him on the last
episode. I mentioned I hated the pose.
Yep.
I didn't understand why he was in tights. Again, going back to the whole Bruno Sammartino thing, I didn't understand that Jesse was a wrestler. Right. I thought he was just a guy that stood next to Vince every Saturday night or Saturday morning.
Yep.
I didn't know he was actually a wrestler. I hated the pose. The figure was colorful.
It was really colorful.
It was colorful. I hated the pose. I'm not going to say never, but I never use this figure.
I rarely use that figure.
Yeah, that's actually a better word. I rarely use this figure.
I didn't really have an opinion on him. I just never really used him. Yeah. If anything, I would have him at ringside, like pretend commentary.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really do any matches with him.
Yeah. Of course, the Macho Man Randy Savage figure was in this one.
What can you say?
Yeah.
Next to the Bulldogs, probably my most used figure.
Absolutely, mine too. Without a doubt.
Yeah, he had the muscular pose, and I mean, it was perfect shape for the drop in the elbow. He had the full costume. The only thing was the sunglasses. Man, you get over that quick.
Yeah.
You know, when they've nailed the costume and everything, and they've got the great pose, that was an awesome figure.
Well, I was not a fan of Macho at this time.
Well, he was a bad guy.
He was a bad guy. So I was so mad that he beat Tito Santana for the IC belt that I'm going to jump down our list real fast. Tito Santana was in this, so I would always have Tito beat Savage because I was so mad that he beat Tito. So
using brass knuckles, no,
yeah,
no less.
So my seven-year-old imagination, Tito's winning the IC title back from Macho, and he's using brass knuckles because Macho used brass knuckles against him to get the title.
So as an aside to your match with Tito and Macho Man, when you played with your figures, we had tag team titles that came with the tag team figures. We had the heavyweight title that came with Hogan. What did you use as an intercontinental title?
For that match, I would take one of the tag titles.
One of the tags. I did the same thing.
You did the same thing?
Okay, yeah. Totally nerding out here.
Do you remember how you always told me to put my arm, because I always had to put my hands on top of the ropes, and it took away the spring in the ropes?
Exactly.
And you always wrestled with your hands
under the ropes.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why your ring was in so much better shape than mine.
Plus, when you piled your figures in, you would have them kind of loosey-goosey on top, and so some figures would be laying on top of the ropes, like your Bundy, for example.
Yep.
Yeah, all the elasticity in those ropes was just gone.
We've used
like spaghetti noodles at that point.
We've used that word in all three podcasts.
Yes, we have.
I like it.
Yes, we have.
That's word of our podcast, I guess.
Right.
Magnificent Morocco, your thoughts?
Okay, so I'm on the fence on that figure. I thought that it was a good sculpt. Like, the face did kind of look like Morocco, and it was passable. I wasn't a fan of the pose because his hands were just kind of out, almost like a Bret Hart, you know, when he walks out and he does the hands at his side, that gesture. That I didn't really care for the pose. You couldn't do a lot with it. Plus, he had his t-shirt on,
mm-hmm.
which I've talked about. It's kind of weird, but at the same time, like I said, when you're playing with your figure, he's wearing his t-shirt. Like, the guy doesn't wrestle in his t-shirt. So that just kind of threw it for me. I didn't use Morocco a lot.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at my Morocco figure, there's not a lot of paint wear on him.
Yeah. And I'm the exact same way. I wasn't a fan of Morocco.
And he was used a lot on TV, too. Like, he was actively involved in a lot of storylines. I wasn't a fan of the figure, so I didn't use him that much.
With Superstar and...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah. What can I say? That is, if it's not Shawn Michaels at the top of my all-time favorite wrestlers, it's Ricky Steamboat. It's 1 and 1A. When they released the Steamboat figure, I was a huge fan. I love the pose. The face sculpt was... okay, it wasn't fantastic, but the body and the pose for me was awesome. The tights were, I think, a cop-out because they could have done more with his tights. It was just all black. The proto figure showed red and black, which is what it should have been. They could have even gone with white like he wore at WrestleMania 3. I think all black was just a cop-out. That was easy. But with Macho Man being released in this line and Ricky Steamboat, guess which matches I was having all the time.
Yeah. The Ricky Steamboat figure, if you go back and you look at the old LJN commercials on YouTube, he's in the red and black.
Right.
But then they came out with this, and I was like, wait, is that really Ricky? Because everything I've been seeing, he's been in the red and the black.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I guess this is Ricky. I guess this is what they're coming out with. I did like this figure. I like the pose. There was a lot you could do with them. But I wanted like a variant. They came out with a couple of variants on this one, like the Jimmy Hart. It has hearts or no hearts on the megaphone. Why didn't they come out with just red and black Ricky or just the black trunks Ricky?
Right. So I remember when this figure finally arrived at the Toys R Us in Hayward that we'd always shop at, I had the Toys R Us in Hayward on speed dial on our phone. I would literally call them every day to see if Ricky Steamboat had showed up yet. I'm not even kidding you. I would call them sometimes twice a day. I would call them early. And I would call them late because it was during the summer. We had the entire day off. I would call them early and I'd call them late. So I remember I finally got a hold of this lady named Barbara. I don't know if she still works there. The last time I was at Hayward Toys R Us was probably 8 years ago, and she was still there, and she helped me find Ricky Steamboat, because I called down there. I said, have you gotten Ricky Steamboat? She knew my voice. Oh, hi, Scott. Hi, Barbara. Have you gotten in Ricky Steamboat yet? Let me check. Hold on. We just got a case in. And as soon as she said that, I was like, holy crap, I think they have him in. So she went, sure enough, she got the box out. She goes, yes, we have Ricky Steamboat. I go, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Can you put him aside for me? She goes, well, we have quite a few, so I don't think you'll have a problem. She goes, we also got in George Steele. And I was like, man, no, please put aside the Ricky Steamboat. I'll do without George Steele for now. So David actually happened to be with us. He was spending the night or a couple days, whatever. So Dad drove us down. I think you came too. Drove all three of us down to Toys R Us, and we all got a Ricky Steamboat, and it was awesome. That was the figure that I had to have in the collection. Weird thing, Macho Man wasn't in the assortment.
The assortment that Barbara put aside from you?
Right. For you? In the box they had gotten in, Macho Man was not in there. We didn't find Macho Man until later. Mom found him at like a Mervyn's or something like that. Happened to find the Macho Man. But yeah, I think that day we got Ricky Steamboat and we picked up George Animal Steel as well.
I still remember when you would call the Hayward Toys R Us, or if you missed, or if you slept in, even if you slept in, you would be like, hey, did you call Hayward Toys R Us to see if they got any figures in? And I'm like, no, dude. You'd be like, dude, get on the phone and call them. Because we would be at home all day. One, we'd be waiting for AWA Wrestling to come on.
Right.
And then we would also be calling Toys R Us, blowing them up, asking about figures.
So we could bother our dad to drive us down there after he got home from work. Just what he wanted to do is drive to Hayward Toys R Us.
Next figure in this set, Special Delivery Jones. Now, it wasn't until I got older that I didn't even know he had a yellow shirt.
Right. We never saw that.
We got the red shirt.
The red shirt, yeah.
But I didn't even know he had a yellow shirt.
Had no idea until later.
It wasn't until I went back and looked at the commercial, he's in the yellow shirt.
Right.
And I didn't know that. I was like, I don't remember him ever having a yellow shirt. It's like the Ricky, he had the black and red. I remember that vividly, but I don't remember the yellow shirt SD Jones. Maybe
right.
Because it's SD Jones.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I only remember the red shirt. I don't remember anything. And it wasn't until maybe about 15, 20 years later that I was like, wait, why is SD in a yellow shirt? I don't remember this.
Which one is more rare?
In my opinion, the yellow, because I never saw the yellow.
Okay. At least on the West Coast.
Yeah.
We never saw the yellow.
At least on the West Coast. Going forward, Terry Funk.
I thought it was a cool figure. His accessories really put him over the top. He had the hat and he had the branding iron. The pose was okay. Again, like with Jesse Ventura, Terry Funk, I didn't really know him from the NWA because, like you said, we had just kind of gotten into wrestling. And so I just knew him as a WWF guy. I didn't know about his past in NWA, how crazy he was. So I didn't really use this figure all that often. When we were watching, he was feuding with like Junkyard Dog. Mm-hmm. So I'd have Junkyard Dog face him occasionally, but he wasn't one of my overused figures.
Yeah.
I didn't really use him a ton, much like SD Jones. I didn't use SD Jones a lot. I loved the pose. I thought the figure was great, but again, SD Jones was an enhancement talent. He was always losing. He wasn't a guy I wanted to have in a lot of matches. So him and Terry Funk really, and Jesse Ventura kind of rode the pine.
They'd be the curtain jerkers.
Exactly.
And then I already mentioned this figure, the Tito Santana with the purple trunks. I love this figure.
Yeah.
It just...
I did too.
The face was okay. It wasn't anything special. But he had the purple tights.
Yep.
And I think black boots.
Yep.
It wasn't anything special, but you could do the flying burrito. That
you
as
could
Bobby,
do the flying? Exactly.
As Bobby Heenan would say.
Exactly.
It was kind of cool. And as I said, I always wrestled him and Macho because I wanted Tito to get the belt back.
Yes.
And then when Ricky started feuding with Macho after he dropped the timekeeper's belt on his throat...
Mm-hmm.
Then it was like, okay, Tito, you're going to be put aside. It's time to book Ricky, you know. Like,
yeah.
I was following storylines, you know.
Exactly. No, that was a cool figure. And the weird thing is all of the pictures that we saw of Tito before he got released, that was a different Tito. He was in a different pose and had a different face. So when I saw Tito on the shelf, I'm like, what the hell is this? This is different.
Right.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Again, you had mentioned earlier how they changed up some of the colorings on the other figures. Tito was actually an entirely different sculpt. His arm pose was different. It had a different face. And then the figure that was released, I don't know if it was better or worse than the original pictures that we had seen. But yeah, a fun figure. Really cool.
That's our long, long list of LJN Series 3. And then it's going to be another long list for Series 4. Hey, we try to keep this between 20 and 30 minutes, but we're going to go over this week. So
you called it last week. You said that we would.
Yeah, we're going to go over our 30-minute time limit. Now it's on to the wish list. Okay, Scott, what is your wish list for this week?
I'm going to go current. I know the last couple of weeks we've gone past figures, and I'm going to go forward this week. Guy that just debuted at the Royal Rumble. I want to see what Mattel can do with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see, especially an elite AJ. I think that is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and Jax actually did a current AJ, TNA AJ.
Right.
With the tattoo on the side. And it was a good figure. And I, for some reason, I passed on it a couple of times.
Now you kind of wish, I should have got it.
I do, but it's something about those TNA figures.
I agree.
There were a few TNA figures I had to have.
The guns.
I had to have the Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yep.
So I like your pick of AJ this week. That I want to see what Mattel can do with those two.
And I already know who my pick is for next week. I wanted to throw down two this week. But I'm going to wait, and I have another no flashback for next week.
No flashback?
No flashback for next week. It's looking forward again.
Can I take a guess?
Sure you can.
Nakamura.
God damn it. Now I need to come up with another one. Okay, fine. Then my second one is Nakamura. I am so excited to see what they do for a Nakamura figure.
Yes.
I think that's going to be awesome.
I'm going to go this week with a Figures Toy Company. And Figures Toy Company.
At some point, we need to address what they're doing because it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, Figures Toy Company is actually releasing more independent guys.
Yes.
They have Ring of Honor and independent guys. Like the Finn Balor that's going to be coming out, and we're trying to guess of how many we're going to buy. How many Young Bucks am I going to buy?
What, a $20 price tag
Whatever.
Each.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I want to see what they look like when they come out.
The faces are nailed.
The sculpts are awesome. And they've got guys that you can't find anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Kevin Steen before he became Kevin Owens, and they're going to release him in the Ring of Honor line. Of course I'm going to buy two or three of those. Of mm-hmm. course I am. Mm-hmm. They're going to do the Briscoes. They're going to do Adam Cole. They're going to do Blue Meanie. They're going to do the Young Bucks. They have a throwback line. They're going to make a Jim Cornette. And they're making a Joey Ryan, which would make a pretty decent match, I think.
That would...
How many people are going to get the Ryan figure and the Cornette figure? How many dick suplexes are going to be thrown around? There's going to be so many gifs of these little action figures doing dick suplexes. Like, it's going to be awesome. The fun of wrestling figures, I'm telling you.
Yes, and they also have the AJ Styles figure coming out, too.
Yes, they do. And yes, they do. So you can form most of the Bullet Club.
And exactly. And that face also is spot on.
Yes.
They did a great job on it. I want to see how the figures look, but like the Young Bucks, I don't even know how many I'm going to buy. Probably maybe three sets.
More than likely three sets.
Maybe four.
One to get signed, one to keep in the package, and then one to open.
One to open. Yep. That may go in with the Funkos.
Right. Right.
Just because it's the Young Bucks.
And
I mark out for the Young Bucks every single time they come on TV. The figure that they haven't announced, and one I want to see, and I know it's going to be a while because he may not sell well, but it's ACH.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know I talked to you Saturday about another figure, and that will be... Actually, you know what? You drop two, I'll drop two.
We talked about another figure on Saturday.
For my wish list.
Who do we talk about for your wish list?
Okada.
Oh, Okada, yes.
I would love an Okada figure. Ever.
Which I think could be in the cards because they've got these NJPW guys that they're doing with the Bullet Club and everything. So I think Okada is a strong possibility.
Again, probably buy two. One to open, one to keep in the package.
Right.
But I'm such a mark for ACH. ACH is one of my favorite wrestlers on the indies. If, as far as singles wrestlers, it's ACH.
Not Ricochet, huh?
They're 1A, 1A.
Right.
But I there's something about ACH that I just gravitate towards, too. Mm-hmm. And I would love to get an ACH figure. That's my pick for this week. It's just something about ACH that I would love to have an ACH.
All right. ACH and Okada.
And Okada. I mean, I could just imagine what they do with all of his ring gear.
That would be awesome.
Yep. So ACH and Okada are my picks this week. I've got to think of something next week.
Me too.
That sums up our podcast for this week. Any final words?
Happy toy hunting.
Happy toy hunting. Adios.